Have you ever heard the expression that laughter is the best medicine? If you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you may have heard me refer to food or exercise as medicine. But many of us think of medicine as pills and surgery, which is perfectly appropriate for acute cases such as a broken leg or pneumonia. But what about chronic disease? Things like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, arthritis, dementia and Alzheimer's, and many types of cancers. What is the best medicine for these diseases? Modern allopathic medicine does very little to address the causes of these, and instead focuses on controlling the symptoms. But what is the best medicine for preventing, arresting, or even reversing these chronic diseases? What if you are your own best medicine? Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Show. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach, and my mission is to help you get into the best shape of your life, no matter your age. We have a great show for you today. Dr. Kien Vu is here with us to talk about how we can achieve optimal health, longevity, and peak performance. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by The Silver Edge. The Silver Edge is my online personal training and nutrition coaching business where I help you get off the exercise and diet hamster wheel and start making permanent healthy lifestyle changes so that you can enjoy the second half of your life with strength and confidence and show up as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself, no matter your age. If you're interested in learning more, send me an email at coach@silveredgefitness.com and we'll start a conversation. My promise to you is no hard sales pitch, no annoying, incessant follow-up emails, just an introductory conversation about your personal fitness goals. Okay, enough of that. Let's get on with today's show. Guest today is Dr. Kien Vu. Dr. Vu is one of the most sought-after anti-aging physicians in the country. He is the author of the book titled Thrive State, Your Blueprint for Optimal Health, Longevity, and Peak Performance, and he regularly works with celebrities, top corporate executives, and high-functioning professionals to optimize their health, performance, and vitality. He is a health media expert and speaker, sharing knowledge to raise health consciousness on platforms such as ABC News, TEDx, The Doctors, and Access Hollywood. Dr. Vu is passionate about empowering people to reclaim their health and live life with fulfillment, abundance, and purpose. Despite being a medical doctor, Dr. Vu struggled with chronic disease himself, diabetes and high blood pressure, until an encounter with a patient changed his life and set him on a new course. During a recent TEDx talk, Dr. Vu commented, "I chose my chronic disease. It didn't choose me." And I asked him to start our conversation today by sharing a bit about his personal health journey.
For everybody in the audience, I am trained as a conventional medical doctor in a specialty called interventional radiology. And for those of you that don't know what it is, well, radiology is medical imaging. So ultrasounds, x-rays, CT scans, MRIs, they are all these advanced technologies you use to pierce inside the body to see what disease looks like. As an interventional radiologist, I was a minimally invasive surgeon using these technologies to do minimally invasive surgeries or procedures on people. So I can go into a blood vessel, open them when they're closed, close them up when they're bleeding. I put electrodes into tumors and burn them and freeze them. So I've worked on a multitude of people with end-stage chronic disease, even early stage chronic disease, from diabetes to cancer to hypertension or high blood pressure. So I really got a spectrum as a radiologist and as an interventional radiologist to see the spectrum of disease. And it wasn't until I had to come up with my own challenges when it came to health that I really started to look a little bit deeper. And I recognized the limitations of conventional medicine not to be able to address a lot of the root causes of what causes chronic disease. And so 5 years ago, I was overweight. I was diabetic. I had high blood pressure. I was on prescription medications. And really, I was the beginning stages of the patients that were ended up in my operating room table. And, you know, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and I didn't like the man I'd become. You know, I had spent so much time building up my career and chasing success. And here I am, this doctor giving medical advice who has become a chronic disease statistic, you know, himself. And when I look back and as I started to understand what are the root causes of disease, I have to actually go way back to my own personal history of a boat refugee escaping post-war Vietnam, coming to America. You know, my parents were born in Vietnam. They were Chinese immigrants to Vietnam. I was born there a couple years after the Vietnam War. And once that new communist regime took over, my parents were like, there's no future for him here. And we actually escaped by boat. I ended up in a refugee boat for 8 months. I spent another 3 months in a Philippine refugee camp. I was the only infant to survive. And you would think now, okay, well, Dr. V, Kian survives on this boat. He is now in the land of the free, the land of opportunity. He would grow up feeling very, very grateful. Not really the case. You know, I grew up very poor and, you know, I was fortunate to be bused to a more affluent area for school. But when I was at school, I was constantly teased for being poor, for being an immigrant, for the holes in my hand-me-down clothes, for the stinking food my mom, you know, sent me to school with. People would always say, go back to your home country, Chinky. And those experiences really shaped me. You know, I didn't like the skin I was in. I constantly remember being not enough, that I didn't really fit in America. And I remember coming home from school many, many times. Like, I just wanted new skin. I wanted not to be an immigrant. I wanted not to have my family. And so there was a lot of shame and a lot of, again, feelings of not being enough, not being worthy. When you carry that energy into adulthood, is somebody that uses something external outside of yourself. And for me, it was just chasing that success. And when you're not feeling good inside and you're chasing this thing on the outside, thinking it'll make you feel good, well, it puts a lot of people in stress. And when people are in a stress state, they'll tend to choose pretty poor habits, not sleep well, not eat well, and all those things. And as we'll talk about probably in a second, it's these choices and how you live your life and your daily habits that ultimately drive how our cells behave, which is why, as a doctor who didn't learn any of this stuff in medical school, mind you, got chronic disease. And when I started to evaluate what dictates disease and what dictates optimal health and performance and longevity, it's really our choices, our habits, and how we show up. And it was really that journey of discovering myself again, of really nurturing my body, that I was able to reverse those conditions in 4 to 6 months. And I did a lot of additional work in anti-aging and regenerative medicine. We could dive into that in a second. But now I'm really left with the question of not just how do we reverse disease, but how do we be at our best? How do we become the superhero versions of ourselves so we can show up every day for our neighbors, for our family, and for the community at large?
That's quite a fantastic story. And in your book, Thrive State, you mentioned that, was it Ishmael, I think, the patient that made a comment one day. And folks, if they want to hear that story, can certainly check out the book, but made a comment and really turned your life around. So you mentioned that you went from a chronic disease state to getting rid of that in a short amount of time. I think people might be surprised that these lifestyle diseases can be reversed. It depends on where you are and how far down the line you are, in a short amount of time. And then the journey continues to, okay, I went from being sick to not sick, but there's this next step. There's this peak performance. There's this optimal health that we're going to spend the rest of our time here talking about. But before we go there, let's just back up and let's just lay a little groundwork here. Can you define for us what is chronic disease?
Well, chronic disease has a multitude of disparaging options. They range from one, you can have a lot of symptoms, you know, like brain fog, like rashes in your skin, like low energy, like pain and joint symptoms. So those are symptoms. But once they start to go into certain systems, they're linked into something called chronic disease. And they are in the realm of maybe arthritis, atherosclerosis or chronic plaque. Diabetes is a big chronic disease. High blood pressure is a chronic disease. Cancer is a chronic disease. When it affects your immune system, you have chronic infections, autoimmune disease. When chronic disease hits your nervous system, it's dementia, it's Alzheimer's. the main thing for these conditions are, once these systems start to fail over time, is when these diseases start to get labeled. And this is the difference between acute conditions. If you were to get into a car accident and you start bleeding, that's an acute condition. If you happen to catch a bug, like a pneumonia, and you've got an infection in your lung, that's an acute condition. Modern medicine is really, really good for that. It's not so good for treating chronic conditions.
Yeah, I think there's a lot there with the chronic conditions. We're hearing a lot more about that, right? Because it's so prevalent. But talk to us a little bit about, what are some of these causes? Is it lifestyle, or is it genetic? Is it a combination?
Yeah, very good. So, you know, a lot of people, the old dogma of medicine is that you have DNA, which encodes basically the entire blueprint of all the genes people have in their body. You get one strand from mom, one strand from dad. And people think, okay, if mom or dad had a disease, they're in my genes and they're going to show up in my life. That is partially true. I mean, the genes contain basically all the code to make a human body. But every cell is different in the body, but you have the exact same DNA in every single cell of your body. So what makes an eye cell different from a lung cell, different from a heart cell? Well, at any time, there is a specific amount of genes that get turned on and a certain amount of genes that are turned off. And it's, I give the analogy of a playbook in the game. The playbook has all the plays in there, but you're not playing every single play at the right time. You've got to play the right gene at the right time to win the game. Very similarly, it's how these levers and genes getting turned on and turned off that dictates what a cell becomes. So when we start talking about disease, human beings have a remarkable capacity. We've inherited the ability to heal ourselves in so many different ways. And we have the intelligence, the cellular intelligence to do that. We've inherited those things. But what ultimately causes disease? Now, when our cells are in their optimal state, cells form together through energy to make tissues, which also band together and communicate with each other to make organs. Organs form systems together. And those systems, when optimally functioning, because your cell is optimally functioning, that will give you optimal health, longevity, and peak performance. What is the flip side of that? When a cell is not given what it needs, then all of a sudden you've got suboptimal cells leading to the suboptimal tissues, suboptimal organs, and then suboptimal systems. A suboptimal cardiovascular system will give you atherosclerosis, heart attack, and strokes. A suboptimal immune system, again, autoimmune disease, cancers, chronic infections, suboptimal nervous system, dementia, Alzheimer's disease. So really, it's the state of our cells. Optimal cells will give us optimal health. Suboptimal cells will give us chronic symptoms and then chronic disease. So the next question is, what makes a cell optimal? And again, it's no longer the DNA. The DNA is all the plays in the playbook. So how then does our cells decide to play the right plays and the wrong plays? Well, this is all actually the cell and the DNA is constantly listening moment to moment to moment to the energy field around the cell. And this energy field is made up of hormone molecules, signaling molecules, growth factors, peptides. And what is that made of? It's all made of the things that we're exposed to in life. And here's the thing. I've worked with epigeneticists and some of the top researchers around the world, actually, and they boil down the 80-20 rule to determine what I call this bioenergetic state. The 80-20 rule is this. There are seven major things. I call them the seven bioenergetic elements that make up the majority of this bioenergetic state of our cells, this state that tells our DNA how to respond. And those bioenergetic elements: sleep, nutrition, movement or exercise, stress and emotional mastery, relationships, our thoughts and our mindset, and then finally, purpose. Having those seven things actually creates the environment that speaks to our DNA. And if you master those seven things, your ability to have optimal health, longevity, and peak performance are at its maximum. And when you're not, that puts you prone to getting chronic symptoms and then chronic disease.
Okay, so there's a lot there, and I definitely want to dig into those seven bioenergetic elements. Now, you had mentioned this DNA, and there are levers that are turning this on and off, and then we went right into these bioenergetic elements. So it sounds like what you're saying then is that there are these lifestyle factors that are critical, I guess, for our DNA to express itself one way or another, either in a sick state or a healthy state. Is that a fair way of putting that?
100%. There are basically two main pathways that our cells really take. And then within these two main pathways, there's a lot of gray in terms of, you know, what genes get turned on and turned off. But you give the cell exactly what it needs, it's going to heal, it's going to have optimal immune system, it's going to create the beautiful humans we were meant to be. Anything outside of that, the cell thinks that it's in danger. In fact, for a human being, that cell, when it's in that danger state, when it's in that stress state, it's going to take all the energy for growth and healing and put it into protection. And one of those main mechanisms there is inflammation. And also a part of that stress and danger response, we lower our immune system. And that combination of increased inflammation and lower immunity, again, puts us in a suboptimal state, suboptimal cells, and puts us really in the environment and background of getting chronic symptoms and chronic disease.
Okay, absolutely. And that's a wonderful precursor to what we want to talk about here today. We want to talk about not only not being sick, but how do we really thrive, right? So let's dig into these elements here. You said they were sleep, nutrition, movement, stress, mindset, relationships, and purpose.
Ooh, you got them down.
That's right. I like this because you got a couple here that maybe aren't so intuitive, at least coming from a medical doctor, right? Certainly these days we say, okay, stress is absolutely, we understand that that certainly has some biological implications. But I think that maybe mindset, relationships, and purpose, when we get there, are going to be interesting. So let's start with one of my very favorite ones. Let's start with sleep. Why is sleep important?
Well, sleep really regulates our circadian rhythm. This is the ebb and flow of how a human being or an organism will go throughout the day. You need certain energy to perform during the day. You need certain energy for rest and recovery. You need to be able to digest, and that is optimized during certain parts of the day. And then there's the part of the day you just need to detoxify, get rid of all the junk in your cerebral spinal fluid. All this is in a rhythm, and that rhythm dictates our hormone production. And hormone production, the right way, is what's necessary for us to have optimal health. So if you're not sleeping regularly, you throw your hormones off, and you're going to start feeling like crap. So many of my patients want to lose weight, for example, and they can't lose weight because they're not sleeping well. Well, why is that? Well, cortisol, when cortisol levels go up, your body thinks you're in stress, and it's going to start to store some energy in fat stores. So that's one of the things. Sleep is so important for basically every regulatory body, people wanting to lose weight, people want better performance. When cortisol is high, it also increases your risk of getting insulin resistance and diabetes. So this is why sleep is so important.
Sleep is one of my favorite subjects to talk about in that whole recovery realm. And you're right. People that are looking to lose weight, people that are looking to gain muscle can all use more sleep. Now, speaking of sleep, what are some good practices for improving our sleep hygiene? What can we do to improve our sleep? What are we really looking for here?
Yeah, let's start at the beginning of the day and then go all the way because, you know, really, you for optimal sleep, you need to be able to treat your day right, because really sleep is that place where our body starts to relax and all those things. And we want to make sure that throughout the day, we're preparing our body for that. So let's start in the morning. One of the things that is great for sleep is getting up early. And the first thing you do, walking outside and getting some natural sunlight on your skin and into your eyes. What it does is it raises cortisol, which helps you wake up naturally. So you're not digging for caffeine necessarily. And what it also does is it resets your circadian rhythm. So your body says, okay, it's daytime, it's morning time. I'm going to start the clock now. And then, you know, when nighttime rolls around, we'll give the cues and signals for you to go to bed. So that's number one. The other thing is regular physical activity. I like to do it in the morning because it puts me in a good state. I'm not thinking about other things. I'm moving my body. And that's so important, moving your body. You get the endorphins going and things like that. But regular exercise will also help you fall asleep. Well, going on a little bit later during the day, you'll start to notice that the day is going to creep up at you. It's not a matter of if things will happen. There are things going to be hitting your life that, you know, will activate your stress response. So throughout the day, it's important to just be able to kind of check in. And there's some practices of putting yourself in a more parasympathetic state to not have that stress get to you. Those could be meditation. breathing techniques. You can even gaze, you go into nature and start gazing out. That will actually bring you into the parasympathetic state. So you different practices like that. Cryotherapy, I think, is great. The next thing is 2 p.m. is my curfew for not having any more caffeine. So I do drink a cup of coffee anymore. And I used to drink like 6 cups of coffee during the day. Now I only drink a cup of coffee in the morning. I make sure I don't have any caffeine intake after 2 p.m. And I stopped drinking altogether, but alcohol also plays into a factor. If you're drinking alcohol late at night, it might help you fall asleep, but it will disrupt your deep sleep and you're going to be waking up. So avoiding alcohol would be key. Tuning into the evening now, you know, we have a lot of artificial junk light, you know, from our phones, from, you know, our lamps to our TVs. That blue light suppresses melatonin, or the hormone necessary for us to be able to fall asleep and for us to be able to get deep sleep. So turning off your phones, you know, having a phone curfew like before 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and maybe using some blue light blocking glasses can help too. And when you're ready to go to bed, just make sure you put yourself in a state for bed. Don't be checking your phone or getting yourself into a stress state. Let your body know you're ready to relax. Great technique is, you know, also journaling, putting everything from your brain onto paper so that you're not ruminating over it when you're trying to go to bed. And having a good sleep routine and a good sleep environment is really, really key.
Yeah, I love all of that. And I like the idea of preparing for sleep when you wake up. I think that's a great take on that. Okay, we're going to leave sleep for now, and we're going to talk about nutrition. This is a hot one. You spend a lot of time in your book talking about this. So talk to us about nutrition. There's so much information out there. How do we parse through all this and make sense of it? What do we eat for optimal performance and longevity?
Well, there's so many diets that are out there. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of diet dogma and people fighting over it you know, on the internet. And now I understand if you choose to eat a certain way because of religion or your beliefs and things like that. And I think that's fine. But I think, you know, one of the things a lot of the diets have in common that are good for them is also very, very good. And I don't think people should really be arguing over things like that. And honestly, the stress that comes from all that arguing, that energy there, when we get to emotions, actually drives a lot of the stress response, which is bad for our body. But I think there's a lot of sensible things people can do. And if you boil it down to this, here's a couple points. One, there's no universal diet that's right for everybody. Our genetics, our activity levels, our exposure to toxins and things like that are all different. Therefore, we all have different nutrient requirements. So we got to have to listen to our body. But as a whole, if you follow these rules, you're probably going to be very, very, you know, do very well. Number one, avoid processed foods. You pick up a food, and if you're taking a look at the ingredients and you're seeing all these things that you can't pronounce, that's not real food. So stay away from the processed food. Try to eat whole, real foods, organic if possible. If you eat meats, I would stick with grass-fed, grass-finished meats and sustainably raised animals. So stick with that if you're going to go there. So eat whole foods. Get rid of the sugar. I mean, the sugar is what is the culprit in alarming rates of diabetes, of chronic disease, because it increases inflammation in your body, and sugar really wrecks it. So get rid of the foods, processed food, get rid of the sugar, eat whole foods, include some good healthy fats in your diet, avocados, coconut oil, nuts and seeds. Get rid of the trans fats and the vegetable oils, which are very, very inflammatory. And then also know that our ancestors didn't eat 3 meals a day. And there were times of feast and there were times of famine. I intermittent fast myself. And I wouldn't say that there's the hard fast rule of doing it, but just recognize maybe if you're not hungry, if your body's not calling to you to eat, it's okay to skip meals. And what you might start noticing is if you start skipping the meals, you're less groggy during the day. You'll actually have a little bit more energy. And the great thing about skipping a meal is it's free. You just save yourself some money. And that was a part of the process that helped me reverse my diabetes and me being overweight.
Yeah. So there's some great advice in there. So anybody who's wondering what to eat, and because there's so much noise out there, taking that advice of, let's get rid of that processed food, eat whole foods. Let's greatly reduce or eliminate sugars, get those healthy fats, and then consider fasting. Lots of good points in there. So moving on from nutrition. So now we've got our sleep dialed in, we're eating better. Let's talk about movement. Let's talk about exercise.
Yeah. So our ancestors moved all the time. and it activates things in our body. One, it increases something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This is the molecule that's like Miracle-Gro for your brain. It helps your brain, you know, develop. It keeps your brain sharp. So that's number one. Number two, movement also activates your lymphatic system, which drains out toxins from your body. So that's a great thing to do. It also, not only the lymphatic system, but it activates your sweat pathways, which is another detoxification system when you move. Movement and exercise also builds lean muscle. Now, for everybody over the age of 50, sarcopenia is loss of lean muscle. And that is actually a major, major risk factor for early aging, for accidents, or for you getting chronic disease. So maintaining lean muscle, particularly as we get older, is going to be super important for longevity and for optimal health. So for all those reasons, exercise and movement is so important. And it's, it doesn't really matter, you know, what you do. You know, I have a little blueprint as to what people do. I include a little bit of high intensity interval training. I'll sprint once a week and I'll also weightlift. That's my routine. But honestly, it's whatever routine gets you moving every day. And remember, if you've got a desk job, getting up every 15 minutes helps. Parking, you know, the furthest away from where you work so you can walk, that helps. And just making sure you're just very cognizant of, if I'm like, you know, very sedentary for an extended period of time, use a standing desk if you can. Get up, move around. Inactivity is seriously the new smoking. So people just have to remember they need to move every day.
Yeah, and I love that. People do need to move every day. And I think the best exercise is the one that you'll actually do, right? The best form of movement is the one that you enjoy. If you dread going to the gym and doing a certain routine, maybe that's not for you. There are a lot of different ways we can move our body. And certainly our ancestors weren't walking on treadmills or lifting barbells, right? Find something that you like and enjoy. Okay. So now we're going to start moving into some of these other things. I think people can say, okay, I can understand a medical doctor talk to me about sleep and nutrition and movement. That makes sense. Let's talk about stress. We alluded to it a little bit, but let's talk about stress and the state of chronic stress today.
Yeah. So very good point. We go through stresses in our body. Our ancestors went through stress. Why did they stress out? They stressed out because you had saber-toothed tiger running after them. They're stressed out because neighboring villages wanted to come attack you. But after that attack was over and after the saber-toothed tiger leaves, we go back into states of relaxation. What happens in that state? Now, we've developed this state where we can prepare for danger just so that we can handle it. So if a saber-toothed tiger was running after you, you're going to, one, need to run. So you divert blood flow away from your visceral organs into your skeletal muscle so that you run away from that. Well, guess what? For a short period of time, that's fine. But if not, then you're taking blood away from your gut, from your kidney, from your liver that has very important functions. Your blood also thickens because, hey, if you become a flesh wound for somebody, you're going to need to clot. That's not really good for your body and your circulation. Your immune system goes down because, hey, if you're going to be a tiger's lunch, why worry about fighting off cancers or chronic infections, right? And then inflammation. Inflammation is that thing. If you were to get a flesh wound, you want your body cells to come in, attack all the bacteria that's in the space. So you bring up this inflammatory response. That goes up. That's also a part of stress. So all that is great when there's actually a real threat, or if you get into a car accident and you need your body to stop bleeding. That's great. Unfortunately, our modern day world, we interpret stress very differently. It might be a tweet that you read. It might be somebody, you know, running in front of you in the highway. It could be a mean boss. And we interpret all those things. And guess what? When you put that stress and danger response on all the time, that sets the stage for chronic disease. Again, normally our bodies, when we're resting and we're recovering, we're in that parasympathetic state, and we're also treating our body well, it's going to be in a state, what I call the thrive state of optimal health, longevity, and peak performance. You put it in that danger space, you divert all that energy for growth and healing into this stress response, that milieu of decreased immunity, increased inflammation, that sets the stage for chronic disease. So let's talk now, not from also stress, but let's talk, you know, I link them together with emotions because you've got the stress response, but you also have emotions like fear, like anger, like hate, like resentment, like worry. all those lower vibrational emotions actually have the same type of stress response. And over time, if you're in those emotions a lot, you cause the same type of response, increase inflammation, decrease immunity, chronic disease. Guess what? On the flip side of that, you've got emotions like joy, like gratitude, like connection, such as love, all those positive emotional states, those are anti-aging medicines. And if you take a look at somebody's labs, when they're in a state of love and gratitude, you'll notice that their cortisol levels are lower. Their anti-inflammatory markers, such as IL-1, IL-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, that's also decreased. And your feel-good hormones are increased with those positive emotions. That leads to being in a thrive state. That leads to longevity. That leads to optimal health.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that was surprising to me as I read through the book. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to stress as bad, and you've given some really good examples of how that's bad. But I think that maybe not a lot of us think about that, those negative emotions having that same biological effect that's so negative, keeping us away from that thrive state. So yeah, great stuff there on stress and emotion. So let's talk a little bit about mindset then.
Oh, great. So mindset and our thoughts are in the picture. And really, I bring emotions first because what leads us to the emotion? Well, underneath all that are basically the thoughts and the beliefs in our mental operating system, some of which we're not really aware that might put us into those positive emotional states or that negative emotional state. We're all different. We respond to things differently. And we come up with those thoughts and beliefs because as children and as infants, we get programmed from our parents, from media, from society. We'll create, and from our past traumas, have things that might put us in those negative emotional states. Now, unless you actually have a saber-toothed tiger running right behind you, that chronic activation for those negative emotional states is not very healthy. So it's just good to be aware. And here's the other thing too. Us as human beings, have developed an ego. We've got a center in our brain called the default mode network. And this is something that we picked up growing up, all these thoughts and beliefs that make up our ego. And here's the thing is what it does is it prepares us for all the negative. So it's going to spend a lot of times, 70 to 80% of our thoughts are going to be negative. But here's the thing, we don't have to believe all our thoughts. And that's the key thing is recognizing not to be remunerating over those negative thoughts that put us in those negative emotional states. And then if you could start to recognize that, oh my God, maybe this is coming from some kind of programming. I don't have to believe that programming. And if instead those positive emotional states lead me to optimal health, longevity, and peak performance, are there new ways I can think that could put me in those positive emotional states? When you can start to understand that, oh my God, maybe I unconsciously adapted all these negative ways of thinking that put me in these negative emotional states. Can I start to train myself? And then I talk about some techniques to train new thoughts and train new ways of thinking in your mind so you can have access to those positive emotional states, even when the old programming took you out of it.
I found that very interesting, the fact that you had linked emotion with mindset and, of course, put a biological medical causality to it, and the fact that we can, in fact, change these things, right? That they are lifestyle elements, and somebody who's suffering clinical depression, that's one thing. But those of us that have just normal negative, like you said, programming running through their mind because the ego is constantly looking for ways that there could be perceived dangers or whatever that might be, there are ways that we can kind of break up that programming, reprogram it. And that once we start changing that mindset, then those emotions start to change as well into that positive state. And this sets off this chain of events that makes us healthier, happier people, right? More likely to be thriving than, say, not.
Absolutely.
Okay. So moving right along. So now we've worked on all these things. We've worked on our mindset and that's helped us with our emotion. We talked about some stress management ideas. Where does relationships play into this healthy human now?
Well, if we look at how we formed as humans, one cell had to say to another cell, oh my God, you know what? You've got some skills I don't have. Let's get together and be better. And that's how multicellular life evolved, was like one cell had its It was doing its own thing. All right. But this other cell was also doing its own thing, but actually had an additional task. And the two of them together actually formed better. And so our multicellular life, all the different cells in our body basically has its own function. And the whole body needs each thing to work on its function and its purpose, which we'll get to later, for the sake of the entire community. And that's what forms this multicellular life. And this is why we are the beautiful species that we are. So we were wired to be in community as our cells were. And so those things kind of drive natural things that happen in our body. Like when a mom bonds with child, increases oxytocin levels. When you and I speak over Zoom, our oxytocin levels increase. When you and I start to hug, our oxytocin levels increase even more. What does oxytocin do? Well, that's really the bonding or the love hormone. It lowers cortisol in our body. It lowers that stress response in our body, helps us digest more. So we are meant to be in positive relationships that uplift us. Similarly, on the other side, we've known maybe of some negative people in our life, and negative energy can be taken in also. And so we just have to recognize that our relationships will put us in some of those, again, emotional states of either love, connection, gratitude, or it could pull us away. I actually am about to launch a course, and we can actually give the listeners of your podcast access to the course for a discounted price. But in that, we do an exercise where we take the relationship we spend the most time with and we judge it. How is it making me feel? What type of energetic state am I in with this person? And then ask yourself, what is our intention for that person? Do I want this person still in my life? And if I'm in those negative emotional states, what then needs to change? Do I have to draw more boundaries? Do I need to have a conversation? Do I need to forgive or do I need to be forgiven? And it's being very conscious of the energy that this relationship brings to you. And on the flip side, if a relationship's okay and you want more elevation in that, what do I need to do? Do I need to call somebody more frequently? Do I need to get into community more? So all those things are really, really important for longevity and optimal health. In fact, if you read the book Blue Zones, written by, I forgot his first name, but Boitner, the blue zone countries where the people have the most centenarians, one of the key common factors of that is community. They live together, they work together, they play together, they take care of themselves together, and they also live longer together.
Yeah. And I like the way that you talk about relationships, and it can be like your health, right? You can be not sick in your relationships. You can be sick in your relationship, in very unhealthy relationships, and you can have optimal relationships. So you end with your seventh bioenergetic element on purpose. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about purpose.
Yeah, sounds good. So what's the evidence telling us about purpose? Well, it's telling us this: people with a deep sense of purpose, actually, there's a gene cluster in our body called the conserve transcriptional response to adversity. And when that thing is turned on, your body thinks it's in a stress state. What does it do? What we just talked about, it increases inflammation and lowers your immunity. Well, it turns out people with a deep sense of purpose quiets down that gene. So you get the opposite effect if you live on purpose. People who live on purpose will live 7 years longer if they've got purpose in your life. Having purpose also decreases your risk of getting chronic disease and cardiovascular events like heart attack or stroke. So those are all the health benefits, and they're all documented in research papers of having purpose. So the next question is, well, how then do I find my purpose? And to be honest, a couple of years ago, I knew the evidence for this, and I was getting stressed out. What is my purpose? What am I meant to do? And I boiled it down to this, and it flows with my bioenergetic model of health. And it's not really so much about finding your purpose, but it's about remembering your purpose, remembering who you are. Your purpose is actually simple. You know, we've got things that are encoded in our genes that puts us in those positive emotional states. Again, love, gratitude, joy, connection. So you got to ask yourself, what are the things, what are the people, what are the experiences that puts me in those positive emotional states? And again, you know, I talked about all the cells, you know, needing to live their purpose in this community. Well, it's really doing your thing. Your body is already wired to enjoy certain things. So if you do those things and you share that, if you share yourself with your community, That's your purpose. Your purpose is also all the struggles that you've been through in your life that you have overcome. And because you've overcome it, you've become a better person and sharing that experience with somebody who might be going through the same thing. So really, your purpose is just you. It's you authentically, and sharing you authentically with the world is your medicine.
I love that. Sharing your authentic you with the world is your medicine. That is fantastic. I think that's a great way to end there on purpose. Now, Dr. Vu, let's put this all together. Can I be very healthy if I knock one or two of these things out of the park? I'm great at them, but I'm not so much on the rest.
Well, so all these things, it work together. So all those seven elements actually constitute physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energies in the body. And what you'll notice is they're all energetically connected. If you work on one thing, your hormones are going to start to change in your body and you reach a certain energetic level. All these seven things are connected. And you also notice once you start to work on sleep, hey, you start to feel better. And all of a sudden, hey, you know, I've got more capacity to think better and to work on my purpose. But you need all those seven things. In fact, if you're missing one thing, you'll find that it doesn't take you up to that next bioenergetic potential. You know, I know people who are very religious about exercise, but they eat like crap. That's going to bring down your hormones. That's going to bring down your bioenergetic state. Some people work on, they're so fanatic about sleep, nutrition, exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right. They stress themselves out living that way. And then they get very angry, like, no, you're not doing this right. You're not eating right, or whatever it might be. And those people who live for themselves and don't really include other people in their lives, again, don't reach that optimal level. These seven things are very, very crucial. And here's the cool part. If you're low in one area and it's hard to get, you know, you to move in that area, work on something else first. Pick the easiest task for you to do. What you'll start to notice is if you do that thing, like I said, you're going to change up your hormone levels, your signaling molecule levels, and making your body feel good, make it easier for you to work on that next thing. Then you start to add them on top of each other. And if you have all those seven things, again, your ability to have optimal health, live your longest, and also have that peak performance and showing up like how we want to show up, that's really increase. And again, these are all probabilities. This is the 80-20 or the 90-10 rule. I mean, you could be following all these seven things and all of a sudden you happen to pick up like a virus, or you have heavy metals or whatever. I mean, that's when you seek a doctor like myself to work out those kinks. But you work on those seven things, your ability to maybe need a doctor, not there. Again, the doctor of the future is going to be you, which is why I always say you are your best medicine.
Yeah, I love that tagline. You are your best medicine. And certainly I can relate to having this holistic view, right? I have found in my own life, when I up-level in any one of these seven areas, and I hadn't really thought about it the way you've laid it out, but you're right. When I up-level in one of those areas, it makes it easier to up-level in those other areas, right?
Absolutely.
And it just makes you a healthier, more well-rounded person. To your point, I'm more able to express my true self, my passion, to find my purpose and express my purpose when I've got all of these things working in concert. Absolutely love that. So, Dr. Vu, what's next for you? You've done a lot of work here, obviously put a lot of thought into this. What's next on the horizon for you?
Well, I run a small concierge practice where I work with a lot of celebrities, CEOs, and high performers as to how they can maybe incorporate this bioenergetic model, incorporate this thing into their life. But I want to get this message out into the masses. As you'll notice now, I do work. I help optimize people's hormones. I put them on very special anti-aging regimens and things like that. But that's really like I say, the 10% or the 5% of getting to the next level. The fact of the matter is, people have extraordinary ability to heal themselves and to put themselves in that superhuman mode. And I want to get that message out there. And there was a kid back in the day, I wanted to do something that involved entertaining people or speaking or something like that. But none of my heroes looked like me. I had heroes like Tony Robbins, Robin Williams, or Mick Jagger, but I looked on the screen there. There was no Asians that looked like me that did that. And I think the world's starting to open up again. And to be able to bring this message of health empowerment and maybe tap into that childhood dream of maybe using media and entertainment as a platform to spread this message, that's really what's next.
I love that. Absolutely. 100%. So we've referenced your book a couple of times. So the book is Thrive State, Your Blueprint for Optimal Health, Longevity, and Peak Performance. Certainly, folks, I would strongly recommend reading that. Great read. He goes into a lot of details on things we just glossed over today. But other than the book, what are some other ways for people to connect with you? And while somebody listening to this might think, well, I would like to take the next step, or I want to go deeper, what are ways that they can connect with you and work with you on the next level?
Absolutely. So they could find the book at thrivestatebook.com. And if you're not ready to purchase, I'm going to give you three free chapters for free. You know, just go ahead and leave me an email where to send it to. That's thrivestatebook.com. My website is kienvu.com, spelled K-I-E-N-V-U-U.com. In there, I haven't officially launched yet, but you can actually first access to what I call the Thrive State Accelerator. We go into deep into exercises over 10 weeks into forming your own blueprint for optimal health, longevity, and peak performance. So that's the Thrive State Accelerator. For those of you listening to the podcast, you'll get a discount by using the code podcast25. Within my website, you know, people try to find me to work closer with me one-on-one. Usually they come by referrals, and I only keep like maybe 10 or 15 clients at a time. Right now I'm fully booked, but certainly if you want to get a hold of me, reach out and we can get you on our wait list.
Okay, fantastic. So I'll drop all of that into the show notes so folks can find all that information there, along with your social media and link to the book, to the TED Talk, all of that good stuff. Well, Dr. Vu, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today, sharing your personal journey with us, as well as all of your wisdom with us, and certainly want to encourage you to keep up your great work, and I certainly wish you all the best in all of your future endeavors.
Well, this was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Okay, folks, that's our show for this week. All of the links to the resources we discussed in this episode and more can be found over at www.silveredgefitness.com/episode65. You can also continue the conversation over there. I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback. But before you go today, I have two favors to ask. One, would you please give me a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on? And two, would you please consider sharing this episode with anyone you think might be interested? It could be a family member, a friend, or even a coworker. The easiest way to do this is just send them a link to this episode. And again, that's silveredgefitness.com/episode65. Thanks again for spending time with me today. And until next time, stay strong.